next morning without weeping. For it has been for me, for many years, one of my life's verses. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I guess I have opened my Bible to the 92nd Psalm and claimed verse 10 as much as any verse in all the Bible. To me, there's a sweetness about this verse that few verses have. It's like an orchid in God's garden. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Maybe that's what Jeremiah meant when he said, "Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." May I teach you just a few words about this psalm? It is said that this psalm was sung on the Sabbath day. It was the psalm, or a psalm, that they would sing when they would come to the house of God, or come on the Sabbath day, observe the Sabbath at least, and they would sing, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." It is said that this was a psalm that was sung in the morning time, at the time of the drink offering, at the offering of the first lamb of the day. God's people would sing, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil today." On the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the Feast of Thanksgiving in the autumn time, the time of the harvest, on the second day of that feast, the Jews would sing the 92nd Psalm, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." It is a Thanksgiving psalm. It is like our song, "Count Your Many Blessings, Name Them One by One, and It Will Surprise You What the Lord Hath Done." This is the kind of psalm that the Jewish family or the Jewish synagogue would choose to sing in the Thanksgiving season, thanking God for His blessings and His goodness. And one of those blessings for which the Jew thanked God every morning, and for which he thanked God every Sabbath day, and for which he thanked God every Thanksgiving season, was, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Now, what does it mean? When the Jew said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil," what did the anointing of oil mean for the Jews? Well, one thing it meant, they did it to everybody. Every honored guest who came to a home was anointed with oil. The young people, hey, they'd take off their shoes. Your guest came to your house, you take off his shoes, and you'd wash his feet, and then you would anoint him with oil. Now, why did the Jew choose to anoint his honored guest with oil? Well, there are several reasons. In the first place, they thought that oil gave fresh physical strength. The Jewish people felt, and they actually thought this, that anointing with oil, like we would, like you would drink a cup of coffee. Not us who are sanctified, but you carnal people who drink coffee. Or a Coca-Cola, or a Pepsi for the younger generation, for those who think young. For those of us who are very spiritual, and I might say proud of it, we would take honey and orange juice. But a lift in the afternoon. The Jews felt that there was a certain physical strength, a certain physical lifting in anointing with oil. And so when they said, when David said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil," and when they would sing, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil," they were saying, "The Lord's going to give me physical strength." Brother Beebe, I don't know how many times across this country I have been so tired, and I've opened my Bible to the 92nd Psalm in verse 10, and I think I know this as much as anybody. I don't think there's anybody in America that would know this any more than I would. Maybe some as much, but not any more. When you feel like you can't make it tonight, and I've time and time again, I said, "Oh, God, I claim this. Anoint me with fresh oil." Now, I'm not sure that anointing with olive oil gives you a physical strength, but I am sure that when the dear Lord anoints you with His Holy Spirit, there's a physical strength that God gives. I know that. I know that's true. But there's another reason why they anointed with oil, and that is they felt like the anointing with oil gave you a fresh mind. In other words, if you're a little dull of mind, they anoint you with oil. And Just wanted to try to alert you a little bit, anoint you with oil. And they felt like it would give you a freshness. And time and time again, I've preached the same sermon. I've preached many times across the country. I've preached many times the same sermon. And I've said, "Dear Lord, this is going to be the same sermon, but make it fresh to me. Make it fresh like the manna that came every morning. Same manna every morning, but make it fresh like the dew of the morning. And make it fresh oil." And I said, "Oh God, keep my mind clear." And time and time, I have to have a clear mind. I have to have a clear mind. Thousands of things go through my mind every day. I mean, people come by the scores every week, and I counsel with this one, and hear this problem, and hear this problem. Now I may rush from a counseling session to a funeral, and I may run from a funeral to yesterday afternoon. I had a wedding and stood right here and married a couple, and one of our fine young ladies married to a young man that she had met. I won't tell you how they met, but anyway, I am a lovely wedding, beautiful wedding. And then before I went to bed last night, I'd gone from that wedding down to Valparaiso, Indiana, and sat in the home of a couple who had just lost their only boy, 39 years of age, only son they had. He was a professor at a university, was on an exploration trip and trying to find an underground river, and he was down in some caves, and suddenly they found him lying on his face. And then I had to come back to the office and prepare for today, and then counseling yesterday, many people to counsel with and many decisions to make. And oh, time and time again, I've opened my Bible, the 92nd Psalm, and I said, "Oh God, I claim this. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I need a freshness of my mind and a freshness of my body." And I'm not sure that the oil actually made them fresh. I'm not sure that the oil made them strong, but I am sure that the dear Holy Spirit of God, when you're tired, can make you strong. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I know that's true. And I don't know whether the oil made the mind any clearer or not, but I know that time and time again I said, "Lord, I've got to go comfort someone who's sick or who's bereaved, and somebody has lost a loved one, and I've got to go. And oh God, make my mind fresh. Help me to comfort them. And then I must go from there to a wedding. And dear Lord, may I be gay, and may I be fresh, and may I be appropriate in the wedding." I know it's true. The Holy Spirit of God can anoint your mind and make you fresh and give you a freshness of mind and a wisdom and clarity of thought that nothing else can do. And so the psalmist said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I shall have new strength." This morning, are you weary of body? Or you're tired after a hard day's work, a hard week's work, and your body is weary? Oh, hear the psalmist say, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." This morning, are you perplexed of mind? Or the bills, is there too much month left at the end of the money? Are the bills a little heavy? And are there burdens to bear? Oh, open your Bible as I've done 10,000 times and say, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." But that isn't all. That isn't all. The Oriental thought that anointing with oil brought pleasure. It brought pleasure to them. They delighted in it. Did you ever play out all day or something as a kid, and you were just so tired and hot, and you went and got you a glass of water and just poured the water on your head? Anybody ever do that? And I've done it time and time again down in Texas. Play out in the sun, 184 degrees in the sun. I'd play out in the sun, and I'd get me a glass of ice water. And I just drank a bit of it, and what I had left, I just poured it on the head, and boy, I felt good. And that's what the Jew would be a little tired, a little weary, and he'd just get some oil and pour it on his head. Now, oil on my head just doesn't sound too good. In fact, I haven't got much to stop it. But that's what he meant. He meant, David meant when he wrote, "I shall get on with fresh oil." David said, "When I get tired, the Holy Spirit will make me strong." He said, "When I get a little bit weary of mind, the Holy Spirit will make me alert." And then he said, "When I get where I'm a little sad, the Holy Spirit will make me happy." You know, that's one reason, that's one thing that I pray for. You say, well, people often say, "Well, you laugh too much in the pulpit. You cut up too much in the pulpit. You people laugh too much in church." This may come as a great surprise to you, but I pray for that. I pray for that. I pray for God to make, I want the Lord to make the Bible to me. Of course, I want it to be strong physically, and I want it to strengthen me mentally. But I want the Bible to make me happy. check the Bible sometime, and it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Blessed is the man that walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I don't want church to affect me like a dose of castor oil. I don't want power lifting to affect me like a dose of black draught that mama used to give me when I was a kid. I want to delight. I want to be happy. And I want folks who have burdened hearts this morning who walked in this service, I want you to feel a lift when you walk out. I want you to feel like you've just been given a transfusion of joy. And I want you to be singing, as one little lady said, sits right back here and had two children beside her. I could call her name. I won't. She said, Brother House, we sit together on Sunday morning, and my husband's an alcoholic, and he beats us. And she said, every time you walk out that door, we all sing together, a little just barely above a whisper. We all sing back in the pew back there. Everything's all right in my father's house. Isn't that pretty? Next time you have a choir number, I like to sing the solo part. This dumb nut that sang a while ago. But they said, we sing it. Everything's all right in my father's house. And that it, instead of saying, Father's joy, 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 they say, for Brother Hiles is here. And that's one reason I'm here every Sunday. That's one reason I'm never gone. You know, I want somebody to come with a heavy heart and go out with a smile. I want somebody to come who doesn't feel well. Some of these dear widows who don't feel well and the arthritis is a little rough. And I want them to go out and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. I want to be anointed with fresh oil. I want physical strength. Usually while most preachers are still on the ninth hole on Monday playing golf, I preached a time or two or gone across the country somewhere. I just have to have fresh oil for strength. And while most preachers are out playing golf on Monday, getting over the nervousness of having to preach on peace on Sunday, I tell my preacher around the country, if you played golf like I do, you'd have to preach on Tuesday to get over your golf on Monday. But I'm preaching, and so I have to say, dear Lord, my mind, yesterday morning, the Sunday school, and then the preaching service, and then the activities of the day, and then the counseling after the service, and then the evening class, and then the Sunday evening class, and then the 25 or 30 folks at my door after the service in the evening, and then the broadcast on Monday morning, and getting the things ready for the, and all the things to approve, and the staff approvals, and the counseling, and the weddings, and the funerals, and all the rest of it. Now I've got to go preach. Lord, anoint me with fresh oil. Give me freshness of mind. And when I walk in the pulpit, keep me fresh. And the psalmist could say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. But there's something sweet about it, too, and that is this. The fresh oil anointing always meant a welcome. Anybody ever come to your house you didn't want to see? Don't anoint them with oil. Maybe squirt the hose on them, but don't anoint them with oil. An unwelcome guest was never anointed with oil in the Oriental lands, but a welcome guest was anointed with oil. If a guest came that you wanted to see, you would by all means take off his shoes and wash his feet, and by all means give him something to eat, and by all means take fresh oil and anoint the guest. And I think the Lord is saying, you're always welcome to come to me. The Lord says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. Oh, it may be sometimes folks aren't happy to see the preacher. I told our people, I was not the shopping center, and some people spit on me the other day. They spit and happened to hit me. I mean, they happened to spit at me, and they spit on me. I was at a house the other day, and one of the girls said, Mama, that God man's here again! And the lady said, tell him I'm not home. And she didn't want to see me very much. And a lot of times, but oh, thank God, every time I come to God in prayer, the dear Lord says, we'll put out the welcome mat. Anoint him with fresh oil. And so what David is saying is this, when I'm weary, the Holy Spirit makes me strong. When I'm a little bit dull, the Holy Spirit makes me alert. When I need wisdom, the Holy Spirit gives me wisdom. When I need delight, the Holy Spirit makes me joyous. And when I need to come to God in prayer, the Holy Spirit gives me the willingness to pray and makes me welcome as I enter boldly into the throne of grace. Now I want you to notice this. David was anointed 3 times to be king. David knew what it was to be anointed. When David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, he knew what he was talking about. David had been anointed 3 times. One time, when Samuel came to the house of Jesse. You recall that story, when David was out tending the sheep, and Jesse had a bunch of kids, and Samuel said, one of your sons is going to be the next king. And Jesse said, I know which one it is. It's this big handstone on the end. No reference to this one on the end over here. Any similarity is purely coincidental and is not necessarily the opinion of this station. But the handstone on the end. And Samuel said, that's not the one. And Jesse said, well, it's the smart one, the second one. And that doesn't apply to you either. The second one. And the smart one. And Samuel said, that's not the one. And Samuel said, that's not the one. And Jesse said, well, maybe it's this one who's a great military leader. And he said, no, that's not the one. And he went down the list. He said, do you have any more sons? Oh, well, yeah. So I got the little Max Helton down the back side of the desert. Said, he's down there. I got one other son, but said, he's not smart, and he's not strong, and he's not a military man. And he flunked English in school, and this is all in the Hebrew. You theologians have to get this in the Hebrew. But he said he flunked English. Oh, I'm sorry. He flunked Hebrew in school, and he did flunk English, no joke. But you wouldn't want him. And so Samuel went down the back side of the desert and said, that's one, that little ruddy-faced boy. And David was anointed. Notice now, that was the anointing of preparation. David is not king yet. Someday he would be king, but he must be anointed as he prepares to become the king. The anointing of preparation. Now, wait a minute. There's a second time David was anointed. When David became king of a part of Judah, not the entire nation of Israel, a part of Judah, in Hebron, he was anointed the second time. But there was a third time David was anointed, and that's when David became the king of all of Israel. Three anointings. One is the anointing I call the anointing of preparation. Two, I call it the anointing of beginning. And three, I call it the anointing of reaching one's fullest. Now you need the fresh oil. Listen to me. David was a little shepherd lad. And Samuel said he's going to sit on the throne of Israel someday. That throne where sits King Saul today. Someday, young man, you will be king of all of Israel. And he said, I'm going to anoint you. And so he anointed David. The anointing of preparation. The anointing of preparation. Did you know when you start preparing, you preacher boys coming to school, did you know you don't need the anointing right now that I need? Sometimes you want to get all of it the first week you're in school. You don't need that right now. Right now you need the dear Holy Spirit of God to come and say, I'm going to anoint you. David was not king, but someday he would be king. And I'm sure that all the time as David prepared, he saw himself on the throne. And he had that one vision, David on the throne. And he was anointed, and he kept that before his mind all the time. I can recall when God called me to preach. I knew I was called. And I had a picture, Dr. Billings, of me standing behind a pulpit, just like right now. I had a picture of me standing behind a pulpit, and every time I'd think about it, I'd break out in a cold sweat. Now then, every time you think about it, you break out in a cold sweat. But every time I think about it, I'd break out in a cold sweat. But I said, I'm gonna do that. I am gonna stand behind a pulpit, and I'm gonna be called a pastor of a church. I'm gonna do it if I die. I preached my first sermon. I lasted 3 minutes. I petered out in 3 minutes. Preached on Peter and petered out in 3 minutes. Really did. And had to tell the people I'm sorry and sat down in failure. And I went back to my room, got down on my knees in the darkness of the room, and I saw myself behind a pulpit, and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And so I decided to go to college. And I couldn't make a speech, and I took 3 courses in speech and 1 in public speaking all the first semester at an extension of the University of Texas. And the professor said, quote a poem, Mr. Hiles. And I quoted a poem, you know, like Mary had. A little lamb is fleeced, was white as snow, but everywhere. And that's about the way I do it. And he said, what are you going to do for a living? And I said, I'm going to be a preacher. He said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I said, yes, I am. And I saw myself behind a pulpit pastoring a church, and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm with young people. Set your goals. Know where you're going. Don't let anything keep you from getting there. The kind of person David said, I'm going to be king. I've been anointed. I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to get ready for it. I've got a vision. I've got a dream. I've got a hope. I've got a goal. Don't just wander through life like you're in a forest trying to find your way out. Set you a goal. Everything you do, point that goal. And I dreamed that I was going to be a preacher behind a pulpit, but I couldn't make a speech. And I, at least one lady, I never forget her, she taught me speech. Then she said, Mr. Heil, say, ho, 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 from the diaphragm. I said, ho, 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 ho. She said, ho, 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 ho. I said, ho, 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 ho. And it just didn't come out right. But she said, now practice it an hour a day, an hour a day. She said, lay on a bed and hang your head off the bed. And she said, with your, it'll push your stomach in. Some of you folks need to push your stomach in. That'll push your stomach in. And said, lay on the bed and go, ho, 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 ho. And I'd ho, ho, ho. Listen, I played Santa Claus for 14 years after that. I'd lay on the bed and go, ho, 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 ho. And I'd get so tired and I'd get up and I'd get the book and I'd say, I'm ho, 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 he, 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 ho, 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 hoo, hoo, hoo. Trying to learn to preach from the diaphragm or speak from the diaphragm. And I'd say, I'm going to quit. And all of a sudden, I'd see myself in a pulpit, and I'd say, that's where I'm going to be. And if I've got to ho-ho-ho to get to that pulpit, I'm going to ho-ho-ho. And if I've got to ha-ha-ha, I'm going to ha-ha-ha. And I've got to he-he-he, I want to he-he-he. And so I ho-ho'd and ha-ha'd and he-he'd. Why? Because I had a dream. I had a hope. I had a vision. I had a goal. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to stand behind a pulpit. I'm going to pastor a church. I'm going to do it. And I had the anointing of preparation. Oh, give us some people when they have been called of God or led of God to do something, they say, I'll do it. I'll not be stopped. I'll not quit. I'll not turn back. I'll stay at it and I'll do it. I'll be it. I'll make it. That's what David had. David had an anointing of preparation. And there's a certain anointing a person needs when it's 2 o'clock in the morning and they've got to arrive a theme for the next day. And they're tired and sleepy, but they have a vision. They see themselves out yonder teaching a class or having a shingle on the door of a doctor's office or an attorney's office or being a preacher. There's a goal out yonder. There's a hope. There's a dream. I'll not be stopped. I'll keep on. And that means I'll stay awake and study if I have to study. And that means I'll keep on going if I have to keep on going. That means I'll work at night if I have to work at night. But, oh, God, anoint me with a fresh oil of preparation. Help me not to stop. A couple came the other day to our school, couldn't find an apartment in 2 days and went home. Somebody said, oh, that's too bad. I said, I'm tickled to death. It's not the kind of student we're looking for. We're looking for students who will say, we have a vision, we have a goal. We're going to help change this nation for God. We'll not be stopped. The idea because you can't find an apartment in 2 days or a job in 3 days. Stay at it. Say, oh, God, anoint me with a fresh oil of preparation. There's a second time that David was anointed. David was about to be king. Not king of all of Israel, but king of a part of Judah. And the dear Lord said, I think my boy David needs some fresh oil. The oil of preparation won't do for the oil of beginning. He needs a fresh oil. And so the Lord sent, and David was anointed the second time with a fresh oil. I'm talking to someone this morning who's about to begin something. You need a fresh anointing from God. Are you beginning college? You need a fresh anointing for that. Are you beginning a family? You need a fresh anointing for that. Are you beginning a marriage? You need a fresh anointing for that. That fresh anointing. Are you beginning a job? You need a fresh anointing for that. I recall when I began preaching, oh my, I wanted the power of God. I knew I had to have it. I knew I had to have it. And I prayed, oh God, help me to have power. Oh, listen. Preachers, you know what I'm talking about. That's something where when you speak, something happens in the hearts of those who hear. It's not just a sermon. It's not just a personality. It's not dynamic. It's not a voice. But while you speak, somebody sits back there and taps on the shoulder of the person, and the heart begins to burn. And I said, oh, God, I want that. I want that more than I want to live. And I can recall, I'd get in my little car, and I'd drive and drive and drive in the woods at night. And I'd say, oh, God. Oh, my God, I want the anointing. I want the power of God. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And I'd get out and walk, and sometimes all night long, I'd walk and I'd pray, oh, God, give me power. Oh, God,
Help me to help you. I'm not going to be a powerless preacher. We got enough of those cluttering up our pulpits already. And I'd pray, and I used to cry, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And then one blessed day, on the grave of my dad, buried in a drunkard's grave, I fell on my face and said, I'm not going to leave till I get it. I'm not going to leave till I get it. And oh, thanks be to God. God looked down and saw a young preacher. He had been anointed back yonder when he was called to preach for preparation. But the Lord said he needs another anointing now. Another anointing. And the Lord filled me with the Holy Spirit of God, and I knew it. What is it? A beginning.
It's the start.
But that isn't the only time David was anointed. When Samuel went down to the backside of the desert and anointed that little ruddy-faced fella to become king someday, he anointed him for preparation. When David was anointed the second time, he became the king. But there became one time in David's life where he sat on the throne of Saul. He sat on the throne of Israel as king of all the nations. And for the third time, young people, God anointed him. Why? Because he needed more. I know what he's talking about. I was anointed when I went to school, and God gave me the tenacity not to quit, and the doggedness not to turn back, and the discipline not to stop, and the courage to keep going. I did not have it. It was given to God when I was anointed. But then I began to be a pastor. I needed another anointing. But I went to the church, the pastor, had 44 people. A year later, with the fifth, on our first anniversary, we had 617 in Sunday school that Sunday, on the first anniversary. And on our second anniversary, we had 1,180 in Sunday school. 1,180 on our second anniversary. And on our third anniversary, we had 2,212. And I'd go to my office, and Dr. Billy, you know this is true. I know a little bit about administration, not a great deal, but some. I went to my office, and all the bills were on the desk. I didn't know how to draw up a church budget. I never had drawn up a church budget. I didn't know anything about pastoring a big church. I never expected to have over 200 or 300 people. And so I went in my office one night, and I got my pen out. On a Saturday night, it was on Saturday night, December 31st, 1954, and I wrote, dearly beloved members of Miller Road Baptist Church, for 3 years I've been your pastor, and I love you, and I'd love to keep pastoring, but I don't know how to pastor a big church. Because I don't, I submit my resignation effective in 30 days as pastor of this church. I want to stay, but you need someone now who's smarter than I, someone who knows more about big churches than I do. After all, I'm only in my 20s still, and you need some more mature, experienced man who knows how to operate big churches. And I put that on my desk, and I said, dear God, I have no other choice. I have no other choice. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pastor a church this big. I don't know where to go from here. Saturday night, about 11 o'clock, I put that on my desk, my resignation, and I got on my knees and I said, dear God, I'm going to pray all night. All night. And if you don't do something to me before I walk in the pulpit tomorrow, I've got to read this letter. I prayed till midnight. I prayed till 1 o'clock. About 1 o'clock, a knock came on the door of my study. I went to the door, and there stood one of my deacons. His name was Barnett, S.O. Barnett. He was a tall fella. He didn't have much hair. His pajamas were sticking out about 4 inches underneath his trousers. He said, Pastor, what's wrong? I said, what do you mean? He said, God woke me up. I'm worried about you. I called your house, and you weren't there. He said, Pastor, God spoke to me to come and see what's wrong with you. And I said, S.O., the load is heavier than I can carry. I want to stay, but I can't. And he said, Pastor, can I pray with you? We prayed till 2,
3, 4, 5, and about the time the sun came up the next morning, oh, thanks be to God, His dear Holy Spirit put His hand on my shoulder and said, you can have it. You can have it. And just as much as I was saved by grace, God gave me the ability to pastor a big church by grace. Anointed. What? For the fullest of service. Anointed back yonder on my face as a little preacher boy that couldn't make a speech and my head hanging off the bed. But anointed as I started preaching in an old country church in East Texas, but now anointed for a great church and a big church. And David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And that's my prayer every day. Oh, God, today while I preach, make it fresh, make it fresh, make it fresh, make it fresh. This morning, whether you're a young person preparing for that goal that's under, that dream, that hope, that vision, or whether you are in the middle of life, beginning a family, beginning a marriage, beginning a home, beginning a job, or whether you're out yonder in the middle years or the latter years, when life's fullest fruition is being realized and the fruit is becoming riper than ever, what you need and what I need is to say with the psalmist David, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's the secret to this church. You visitors come around here very often. I know what you're going to do. You're going to walk out and say, well, what makes it tick? The guy hadn't got much hair. And his nose runs all the time. And he's not very big. And he's not very deep. What makes it tick? I'll tell you what makes it tick. Blessed be God. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's what we need. And that's what you need. And that's what I need. This morning, whatever your task is, strength for today is mine all the way and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Say with the psalmist David, when you're tired, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, and I shall be strong. When you're weary of mind, on your face, say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, and I shall be alert. And when you're lonely, say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil, and He shall make me welcome. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Would you pray, please? Our Heavenly Father, at the beginning of this invitation, anointed with fresh oil, fresh oil. Not the stale oil of last Sunday, but fresh oil for today. As we sing the invitation, anoint the tongues of the choir with fresh oil. Anoint the ear and the heart of the listener with fresh oil. Oh, God, may it always be that some folks who come and visit just one time at First Baptist Church, may they see fresh oil. And may our people who come week after week after week, may they feel the freshness of it. And may the Bible always be new and may our mercies always be fresh to us. Anoint us with fresh oil. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. This morning I'm talking to someone who needs the anointing of God. You're about to prepare for something. Out yonder there's a hope and a dream. You have a hope for yourself and your life and the will of God. Ask God this morning to anoint you with fresh oil. Don't veer to the right or the left. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. And then I'm talking to someone this morning who just got married or is about to. Or someone who just had a baby or is about to. Or someone who just has a new job or is about to. Or someone who's just gone to a new college or is about to. Or someone who's just bought a new house or is about to. And you need anointing for the beginning. But I'm talking to somebody who's in the middle of life, and you want to reach your fullest before it's over. You don't want to stop short of being all you can be. You don't want to stop short of being everything God wants you to be. This morning, ask God to anoint you with fresh oil. fresh oil. Fresh oil. For pleasure, for strength, for wisdom, for fellowship. Somebody ought to say this morning, I'm going to join this church by transfer of membership. I'm going to make this my church home. Then you come this morning. Somebody else ought to say this morning, Brother Hiles, I need to get baptized. I'm saved, but not baptized. You ought to come. Many of you ought to say, I'm not even saved, but I wish I were. I want to become a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved. You ought to come.